got something we both know. We don't talk too much about it. Ain't no real big secret, all the same, but somehow we all get around it. Listen, it don't really matter to me, baby. You believe what you wanna believe. See, you don't have to live like a refugee.
Don't have to live like a refugee.
Oh yeah, there you go. That is Great Moments in Vinyl. Live in studio here on 720 WGN. It's Nick DiGiulio here on the overnight side here. And joining me live in studio, so, Great Moments in Vinyl is a very interesting, special group of musicians that do gigs pretty regularly at Martyrs. And they've got a gig tonight, Tuesday, February 23rd at Martyrs, 3855 North Lincoln. $8, I'm sorry, $10 cover, $8 start, and we have all the information on our Facebook page. And that was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers that you heard, and I want to welcome back to the studio first the guy who put this together, Lindsey Cochran. Lindsey, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having us.
It's my pleasure. And along with Lindsey is, of course, guitarist Richard Pettengill. How you doing, Richard?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. You can bring the mic up a little closer if you can. And welcome to the show for the first time, and I can't believe this, is Phil Angotti. And Phil, I've known you for many years.
Good to be on the show.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I've known you all the way back. I met you through Beetlefest.
Like
30, almost 30 years ago, and when you were doing Beatle Brothers and stuff, and you know, with your band The Idea, I've seen those, you know, you guys many times. You've been around for, you've been kicking around Chicago doing music for a long time, man. I've always been a fan, and you know,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and you're also a massive Hawks fan.
Yes, I am.
Which Good I wanted Hawks. To mention because all these years that I've known you and you know, and everything, I've never put two and two together, but you are indeed related to Lou Angotti.
Great number six, Lou Angotti.
That's right.
Yeah, Lou's father and my dad's father were cousins. That makes so Lou and my dad were second cousins. I'm a distant third cousin, but a cousin nevertheless.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
About the Hawks, let's not talk about Minnesota.
They'll be okay.
No, they'll be fine. They don't play till Thursday. They got some time off, so it's going to be good. Well, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
I'm very excited to have you here. Thanks, man. And Lindsey, let's tell everybody about Great Moments in Vinyl. What's the concept? How did it start and all that good stuff?
Great Moments in Vinyl is a chance for us as music fans to get together with other people that are music fans too and say, "Wow, don't you dig these albums?" So every couple of months, we find a couple of albums we think are just really cool, like we did a couple of Rolling Stones shows, albums rather, back at our last show, a couple of Janis Joplin albums back in the summer. This time around, two Tom Petty albums. We took a look at his catalog and what sold well. God, I sound like a radio a record industry guy.
Yeah.
Catalog. But we looked at his albums, which ones were the popular ones, which ones had the most familiar music, and we went with Damn and the Torpedoes and Full Moon Fever.
Yeah. You know, I think Full Moon Fever is an interesting choice. I don't know why. Like, when you guys came in, I was like,
best-selling.
Full Moon Fever is his best-selling
record?
Better
than anything he did with the Heartbreakers, except for maybe the Greatest Hits album.
Yeah. Well, Full Moon Fever did come out. Didn't it come? It came out after Wilburys and stuff, or during that time period?
89. He'd met Jeff Lynne, and I think wanted to work with Jeff, and they started recording some things. They did it in Mike Campbell's garage. Basically, the Heartbreakers had been a turmoil. Remember the album before? It was Let Me Up, I've Had Enough.
Yeah.
And it was Tom saying, you know, at one point he actually called Mike Campbell and said, "It's done. We're through."
Wow.
Called him up later in the day, said, "Look, I'm sorry, I was just overreacting." But, I mean, he was burnt out. There's a lot going on. I think Stan Lynch, always a troublemaker in the band, and he was finally coming to his last straw. Anyway, so he started recording some of these songs just as a lark in Mike Campbell's garage. As he said, you know, when there's nothing to lose, you can be creative. Because it wasn't the Heartbreakers' vision. It wasn't, how do I keep this thing alive? It was like, let me just make some music for myself.
Yeah.
So he started doing that, took it to the record company. They hated it. "Oh, we don't like this."
Yeah.
So he waited it out till the regime changed. I guess Irving Azoff might have been the president of his record company at the time. That guy got moved out. Maybe Mo Austin or someone like that got moved in. Anyway, went back to them later, and they said, "Oh, just add a couple more songs because it's too short. We love this."
Wow.
It went on to be his best-selling album. But in the intervening time, he'd worked with Jeff Lynne. Jeff Lynne put him in touch with George Harrison. He'd been on tour with Bob Dylan.
Oh, I see. Okay.
George Harrison and
Roy Orbison.
Yeah. Well, actually, they all went to Roy Orbison to see Roy Orbison at a theater, got down on their knees and begged him to be in the band with them.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that happened.
So it's all in that weird time frame.
When Full Moon Fever was started, when it finally got released. Yeah, that's when the Wilburys happened.
Yeah.
That's a long answer to that story.
No, it's a great answer.
I hope
your producer can edit. No, we're fine, man. It's good. Okay. It's good.
Right, it's 3 a.m.
It is. Doesn't matter. Exactly. No, that's interesting. I just found, I don't know, when I think, you know, and I love Full Moon Fever. I do. I think there's very little of Tom Petty that I don't like.
That's the thing about Tom Petty.
Yeah.
There's very little that people don't like.
Well, and I know that it sounds like kind of an offhanded remark, but the first word that pops into my head when I think Tom Petty is consistent. And yeah. I know that that's like, yeah. Some people go, well, what does that mean? And it just means that everything, you know what you're going to get when you get a Tom Petty record. We see Tom Petty live. He's consistent. And I mean consistently good, like all the time. Would you agree?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. His albums are just like so even. They're just everything's good. You know, some things pop out more than others.
Yeah. Phil, what about you? Do you?
I've been a fan. I was telling these guys, I was very pleased they asked me to do this because it's like right up my alley. I know the music. I grew up with it. The first time I saw him, he was playing Refugee, you know, Saturday night. And you know, I remember seeing him on Fridays. And then the video, we were talking about some of his early videos, and he always had the Rickenbacker guitars.
Yeah.
Just the sound of the guitars were a real like throwback to the Birds and the Beatles. But he also has a knack of writing which isn't easy to do. He just has a simplicity to his songwriting that, you know, it's just to the point, and it's just really fun to play because it's not really complicated, but it's simple, and it just gets to the point.
He's compelling stories,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
In those songs.
He's just one of those guys, man, where, like when you want great, solid rock and roll, mm-hmm. you go to Tom Petty, and that's something to be said for that. First time I saw Petty, I've only seen him twice. The first time I saw him was at Poplar Creek with Dylan. And they were co-headlining, so they were switching off. And Dylan was terrible. I remember what was the album that he was promoting? It wasn't Infidels. Was it Infidels?
I stopped keeping track at that point, I think.
Once the 80s hit, I stopped keeping track. No, I can't remember if it was Infidels. No, I don't think it was Infidels. I think it was something after the album after Infidels. Anyway, but they were switching off, and it was Dylan was not very good, but yeah. Petty was unbelievable. And then I saw Petty headline at the Riviera.
Petty takes it very, very seriously, I think. The idea of being a band leader, of being a songwriter, of being a performer, he just invests himself in it. He never has an off night.
I agree. I totally agree. Let's talk about great moments in vinyl. Give everybody the 101 on that, how it started. And it's different than most like tribute bands.
Right. We play albums, but we also tell stories. I tell stories about the different songs, the artists. You know, Phil was talking about how Tom Petty songs are so consistent. Let me just read something that I was going to do at the show. This is how I was going to start off the show.
Okay.
These guys don't know this yet.
He's springing it on them right now.
I'll step up on the stage and, you know, welcome people to the club. Well, she was an American girl raised on promises. She couldn't help thinking that there was a little more to life somewhere else. After all, it was a great big world with lots of places to run to. And if she had to die trying, she had one little promise she was going to keep. The people Tom Petty sings about are fighters, people who take on the challenges they're faced with and take them to the mat. Maybe because Petty himself knew a thing or two about standing up and fighting back. She was an American girl. She won't back down. She don't scare easy. She doesn't have to live like a refugee because she's running down a dream. She'll listen to her heart. It'll tell her what to do. She's learning to fly, and if she's going to go down, she'll go down swinging.
Nice. Very nice.
But, you know, consistency also in the vision of what he has to say. You know, he's a fighter.
Yeah. But you mentioned American Girl. There are a few songs better. Like,
oh, my God.
I mean, I always say that there are sometimes you hear a song, you go, well, that's a perfect song. That's a perfect song. Yeah. American Girl is a perfect song.
And Breakdown from the same album.
Breakdown is amazing. Yeah, that's a great, such a great record.
It's also first album. Can you imagine coming out with that on your first album?
I know. I know. That's crazy. It is crazy. Mm-hmm. It's also, American Girl is also the only part of Silence of the Lambs that doesn't make me want to vomit.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
Yeah, I know. It's just the girl singing along with that in the movie. That's the only joyful moment in that entire movie is the girl singing along with that. Well, that's cool. Now, you do switch out musicians, right? You pick a couple albums by an artist.
We're trying something new this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Phil and Gotti, I mean, the idea was in the past we've picked albums and then recruited people to do the albums. This time we started asking people around, you know, what do you like to do?
Mm-hmm.
And we heard that Phil had done some Tom Petty before, so we said, hey, would you want to sing with us?
That's very cool. right, well,
he said yes.
All right, Lindsay, let's get your background a little bit real quick just so people can catch up on you.
Oh, I do all sorts of things in Chicago. I've been here since I went to college. I was at Northwestern, got an English degree, and promptly went on to not use it.
At least you didn't spend a lot of money.
Yeah!
Going to Northwestern and all.
Right, I had to save that up for my own kids' college fund.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. So I got into radio, worked at XRT for a while, worked at WNUA, been doing voice work and doing radio again. So.
Yeah.
I'm a voice. That's what I am. And, that's why I tell stories at these shows. I play bass and tell stories.
Well, it's an interesting concept. And, you know, the people that you, the musicians that you work with are some of the best musicians in the city, without question. And I've been lucky enough consistently to have you guys come on my show.
I always say about Richard, he's never met a riff he can't play.
Well, Richard, welcome back to the show again.
Thank you so much.
Always a blast to talk to you. I don't know if you're going to tell a couple of stories tonight that will blow my mind. I just wanted to say this. I've mentioned this before, Lindsay. Phil, every time this guy comes on, he tells me like, oh, yeah, I was at Woodstock. And he just like offhandedly, this guy, saw Hendrix here. I saw that. I'm like, what
he
the
did
heck?
That again. We were at the Billy Goat before we came over. He mentioned, and I saw the Mahavishnu Orchestra. Who was it opened up for?
Yeah.
Jerry Garcia.
Oh, yeah, just that. That's all, just that. Yeah. Well, you know, so you've been a musician for many years.
Yeah, since I was about 13.
And did it start with the guitar?
Yeah, I bought my first Fender Mustang when I was 13.
Oh, the old Mustang.
Because I had heard Hendrix and Clapton. I was like, oh, man, that's for me.
And you started playing then. Did you take lessons and everything?
No, I just sat down with records. I sat down and learned from like Mike Bloomfield and John Fogerty.
Yeah.
You know, just like really great guitar players.
Yeah.
Just started to emulate what they do.
And Phil, what about you? How'd you start playing?
Well, I was little. I played when I was 8 years old. I took lessons and I was pretty hyperactive kid and I liked hockey and sports. And I kind of went to sports and put the guitar down. And when I got back into high school, I was just a music fanatic. So I picked it up again in high school. And in senior year, I already put a band together. And as soon as I graduated, I was out playing every weekend in a band called The Fleas. We dressed like their early Rolling Stones. We had Rickenbacker guitars, and we played nothing but old British Invasion stuff.
Yeah.
Back then, it wasn't super popular to do. But I've been doing that kind of music pretty much my whole life now.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go to a break here. You guys want to play play us out, and Lindsay, you can move your mic right at that amp. All right, and so you guys can play whatever tune you want to play, and to take us out, we'll take a break here. We're going to come back. When we come back, we'll hear more great moments in vinyl. It's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. It's later tonight at Martyrs. These guys are phenomenal. The showtime's at 8 o'clock. It's $10 to get in, and whenever you guys are ready, you take us to commercial.
One, 2, 3, 4. Think you're gonna take her away with your money and your cocaine. You keep thinking her mind is gonna change, but I know everything is okay. She's gonna listen to her heart. It's gonna tell her what to do. Well, she might need a lot of loving, but she don't need you.
Great. That's great. Great moments in vinyl. Nick DiGilio here, and we'll come back and talk more on 720 WGN.
Oh, baby, don't it feel like heaven right now? Don't it feel like something from a dream? Yeah, I've never known nothing quite like this. I feel like tonight might never be again. Maybe we'll know better than try to pretend. Baby, no one could have ever told me about this. I said, yeah. The waiting is the hardest part. Every day you get one more card. You take it on the faith, you take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part.
All right. That's one of my favorite Tom Petty songs. That's great. That's great moments in vinyl. A group of great artists who get together put together by Lindsey Cochran, our old friend here. And how often do you guys play out? I know that you know Martyrs is kind of your home base. How often do you play out?
Try to make it every couple months. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're coming back in less than a month with another show.
What's the next one?
Indigo Girls. You met a couple of the singers, Aaron Tedesco and Andrea Bunch.
Oh,
they have
man.
A group together called Congress of Starlings.
Right.
And once again, that idea of recruiting people who have a passion for something already.
Yeah.
I said, what would you guys like to do?
Yeah.
Oh, Indigo Girls.
You know, that first Indigo Girls album, man, the first time I couldn't believe how great that record was.
Well, we're doing two of them.
And what's the other one you're doing?
Rites of Passage yeah. and Swamp Ophelia.
Oh, man. Those are good.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, they're great. Indigo Girls. Yeah.
A couple of their songs with my sister. She's a good singer. We used to do. Kid
come on
Fears
up and closer to the mic.
Closer to the mic.
We used to do Kid Fears and Closer to Fine.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, they're great. So that's gonna be. We'll talk about that coming up in a
I'll
little
come
bit.
Knocking on your door.
Yeah, please. I expect you to. Now for this gig for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and you guys are playing tonight at Martyrs. If you love Tom Petty, you should definitely come out. Not only is it just the playing great musicians playing two really terrific records, but Lindsey likes to tell stories, and you learn a lot while you're there. In addition to the three gentlemen who are with me, and it's Lindsey Cochran and Richard Pettengill and Phil Angatti are with me right now. But who else is in the band for this go-round?
I'll introduce a few that I know, and then you can take it from there. A woman we've worked a lot with is Debbie Kaczynski. She's played keyboards and sung with us on many occasions, and we roped her in for Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
I was wondering who was going to sing that one. Yeah.
A little surprise in the encore for the crowd.
Yeah.
And a new keyboard player with us, Dan Engine Throne, who I don't know what bands he works with locally, but quite an adept keyboard player, piano, organ, but sings too, and great to watch.
He's
you know, some people
pigeons.
Just play.
Yeah.
And this guy, he's all over the keyboard. He's little flourishes mm-hmm. and stuff when he hits the different notes.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
So love him. Peter Manis, he's a rock solid drummer we've worked with on many occasions, and so he's back behind the drum set for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and
you
brought
recruited.
In a young man named Jimmy Steinkraus. He's doing some harmony vocals with me and singing a couple leads. And playing a second acoustic guitar and a few numbers.
Okay, cool. So. That's great. Let's talk about, as we do whenever you guys come down here, let's talk about the Old Town School of Folk. Richard, your connection to the Old Town
I've
School.
Yeah, I've been actually teaching at the Old Town School of Folk Music on and off for like 30 years or plus, because I used to be in an Irish traditional band in Chicago in the late 70s, and we were playing on the sidewalk.
I'm sorry, man. Did you tell me this story?
I don't think so.
Because now, once again, you were in an Irish traditional band.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to play the Greek bouzouki in this band. So
this is a Python sketch, man. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So we're playing on a sidewalk, and the then director of the school, Jim Hirsch, comes up and says, "Hey, man, you should be teaching at the Old Town School." I'm like, okay, what's that? You know, so he called me in, and so I started teaching there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How many years ago was that? When was
that? That was like late 70s.
Late 70s.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. God. All right. So did you teach bouzouki?
I started by teaching a course called Irish guitar, whatever that means, you know, and I came in ready to do all this fancy stuff. Everybody who took the class wanted to do, what do you do with a drunken sailor?
Right,
yeah.
Sure. Wow.
So, yeah.
And that turned out to be a success.
Yeah, it was a big success. Yeah.
tell everybody about the Old Town School of Folk. And you know, it's not just, I mean, it has the name Old Town School of Folk, but it's not just folk. And in fact, they offer some incredible courses.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's like it goes so far beyond folk music, you wouldn't believe it. You can take tap, you can take yoga, you can take ukulele, you can take virtually, you know, you can take ZZ Top, you know, you can take virtually anything you can imagine in the realm of music, dance, all kinds of things. It's just an amazing place.
And the musicians that pass through there are now, Lindsey, you went there for a little while.
I was a student. I was a student of Richard's once upon a time.
Yeah.
And I was just stunned by the range. You know, it's not just learning how to play folk guitar. It's you can play specific rock songs. You can be in Smashing Pumpkins ensemble or a Everly Brothers ensemble. I played bass in a doo-wop ensemble. It was for guys who wanted to sing.
Yeah.
You know, just all sorts of stuff.
And as some of the people that you've met through there, you've obviously connected with. And what is it about what do you think it is about the school that the people who go there just to take, you know, lessons or something, end up staying there? you can't get rid of everybody.
You walk into that place, and if you know, you go, oh my God, I've waited my whole life to be here, because you've walked into a community of people who share your passion.
These are my people.
These are my people. And then you meet them, and you're in a class with them, and then you start a band with them, and you become lifelong friends.
Yeah.
And it's like the place becomes part of you. You can't. I mean, I could never move away from Chicago, you know, at this point. Because of the Old Town School.
But makes sense.
A lot of these albums we work on, Richard will talk about, oh, yeah, some friends of mine, we played that 15 years ago. Some band at that point.
Yeah. Now, Phil, do you enjoy doing covers?
I do. I always have.
Yeah.
You know, I've been writing my own songs for a long time and put out lots of records, but I always make a point to get out and play shows. I do a lot of album shows myself. Done a bunch of things over the years, as you know, with the Beatles bands and things like that. So, yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's just a great way to play favorite songs.
So the Old Town School of Folk is also a really great venue to see bands.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they get some amazing musicians crossing the threshold at that place.
Yeah, they just have an incredible lineup of bands that play there. Plus their annual festival in the summer, Square Roots. Incredible lineup of bands from all over the world they bring in.
Yeah.
You know, so.
By the way, Indigo Girls played at Old Town School of Folk.
Oh, they may
I'm
have.
I'm almost positive they have.
I think they did.
I'm thinking of another.
Or at least Amy Ray may have. Maybe it was Amy Ray by herself, but yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking of another Blow You Away Richard story.
Oh, God, here we go. I'm already mind-boggled by the traditional Irish band.
When Patti Smith was playing at the
Old
Town School.
Oh, no. Come on, man.
What? And she needed an extra guitarist to help out in a song.
Well, she just said, I need someone to come up and play guitar. And everyone was like, Richard Goss. I'm like, okay. So I go up and I play Power to the People, you know, with Patti Smith.
What the hell, man?
It's
every single time you're
John
on this
Life.
Show. Every single time. He's never going to run out of stories. I'll have him in here 50 years from now, and he'll tell another story, and I'll be like, you did what with who?
Right, exactly.
Patti Smith? You played with Patti Smith?
Yeah.
She wow!
Pulled me up on stage, and you know, her guitar player goes, "Okay, it's G, C, B minor, and A," and I'm like, "Okay."
Wow! Now you know one of my favorite rock stories of all time involves pulling somebody up from the audience. You guys probably know where I'm going to go with this. It involves Keith Moon and Horse Tranquilizers. You guys know this story? Yeah, Phil knows it. Do you remember what city they were in?
No.
It was in America.
He just collapsed.
Keith Moon thought it would be a good idea to take a couple of horse tranks before the gig. And he did, and they kicked in mid second song maybe. And he collapses behind the drums, like boom, dead.
Yeah,
and and by this point, like everybody else in the band, Entwistle and Townsend and Daltrey were like, oh God, Keith, all right, you know. And then Townsend just goes up and says, is anybody play drums?
Is there a drummer in the house?
And is there any, honest to God, it's a true story. He said, yeah, there is. And they pulled this guy up on stage and he played. And from what I understand, and this is a great way to end the story, that guy just passed away not too long ago, the guy who played drums.
I didn't know that.
But he played the gig. He played this entire gig because Keith Moon decided that he would take some horse tranks. So...
Now, so guys, don't do any horse tranquilizers.
Yeah, don't do horse tranquilizers before the gig tonight.
Just do one.
Is that what happened to Patti Smith's drummer? Did she take some horse tranquilizers or guitarist?
No, she just invited me.
She just did that. That's great, man. That's a great
that
story.
Awesome.
And was that Old Town?
Yeah, it was just last year.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing. That is unbelievable. Okay, so it's Great Moments in Vinyl, Damn the Torpedoes, Full Moon Fever. It's tonight, February 23rd at 8 o'clock at Martyrs. Now, how long have you guys, Lindsay, what was the very first time you did Great Moments in Vinyl? What was the first artist?
August of 2013. And John Mead, who's been on the show before, he had a band that had put together a Bruce Springsteen set. And I came to him and said, hey, let's expand this to two full albums. So we did the second one, Wild Innocent East Street Shuffle and Born to Run.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it started.
That's how it started.
Now, it's interesting. Every time you come in here, because the varying of artists is amazing, what you guys pull off. And sometimes you have a lot of consistent members in the band, but you guys play so many different types of music.
Yeah. We did Michael Jackson.
I know. How did that turn out, by the way?
Oh, my God.
Really
when the
good.
Zombie dancers hit the stage, I mean, it was like...
And that was just this past Halloween, right?
Yeah,
because,
Halloween week.
Yeah, Halloween week. You had because we had you in here for
you
that.
Know. Every time we do a show, we try to do something special. Like when we did The Police, we had a guy who came up and sang "Mother." you know, that crazy song.
He went to town on it.
Well, you got to go to town on that song, man.
He was just over the top. When we did Michael Jackson, we had zombie dancers that appeared during Thriller.
Yeah.
For this show, well, we got Phil and Gotti singing.
Sure.
But also one of the special things we're doing is I got a copy of Petty, the biography by Warren Zanes. He wrote this great biography, great stories in it. And I thought, I'll tell some of these at the show. I wonder if I could get a copy to give away. So I contacted him on the internet. And he said, oh, sure, here's my publisher.
Oh, cool.
Sent me a signed copy.
So you have a signed copy of that to give away. Now, how are you going to give it away?
Probably one of those random drawing things. I haven't figured that out yet. I've got 24 hours to get that.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure that out. Less than 24 hours.
There's those little numbered tickets at the door or something.
Yeah, we'll do something.
But the idea is I've got you know, an incentive.
Yeah. For people to come out.
I can mention on the radio because no purchase necessary. Because if you just come to the door and say, hey, I want to register, you can do that too.
Oh, you can. Wow. Don't discourage people from staying.
Well, they'll hear the music. They'll say, hello.
We got to stay. Martyrs, talk about your relationship with Martyrs and what a great room that place is.
Those guys, I mean, I don't know the full story of Ray Quinn, one of the owners there, but mm-hmm. I guess he used to be a sound guy, didn't he? I mean, he used to do recording sessions and that sort of stuff. He's got a studio up in the attic of Martyrs, but that's his background, and I guess he wanted to get in the club business. I'm filling in a lot of blanks here.
He was part owner, but managed Shubas for a long time before he went on to open Martyrs.
Oh.
So I know that's how I met Ray.
And they just love local music there. You know, mm. I saw Phil there doing Venus and Mars a couple of years ago. I was impressed with his talents. But we came to Martyrs with this idea, and they gave us a shot, and we've kind of stepped into a new role there. They want us back every couple months.
That's so cool. Do you guys see the same sort of group of people come out for the gigs?
You know, it's interesting. Like, the Stones brought a whole new crowd. You know, I think certain artists will attract a whole scene of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll happen again for Petty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. But, you know, you get the people, because I do I host a film club thing once a month here. And I noticed that we get a lot of people who just show up. It doesn't matter what the movie is, because it's just like really fun and really cool to do.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're big movie fans. So I would imagine just music fans,
we're hoping
you get
people
a lot of,
go there.
There's a small core of people like
that.
There
is a core of
no matter
people
what
that,
you do, they kind of come out for the
yeah.
Games.
Yeah. That's always fun. And then you get
new people
you know, who show up.
Well, that's kind of the thing too. At Martyrs, a Tributosaurus is there quite often. Phil's there often doing albums. And so I think maybe the crowd that goes there is in the idea of, oh, they will have these tribute shows that come up from time to time with different artists and different people performing them.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll come check us out.
That's cool. Very, very, very cool. All right, we got a break. We got much more to talk about here. We got great musicians in the room, Phil Angotti and Lindsey Cochran and Richard Pettengill, and they are playing Great Moments in Vinyl, a salute to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. You guys want to take us out to the break with some more Petty?
Sounds good.
All right, here we go.
Woman in Love. Yeah. 2, 3, 4. She laughed in my face. She told me goodbye. So don't think about it. You can go crazy. Anything could happen. Anything can end. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to save me. She's a woman in love. She's a woman in love.
All right. Very good. Very good. Okay, we're going to come back. Great Moments in Vinyl live here. Salute to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. That's tonight at Martyrs. You got to check it out. We have a link on our Facebook page for all the information. Facebook.com/NickDShow.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus, and America too. She's a good girl, crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too. Well, it's a long day. Living in Reseda, there's a freeway running through the yard. And I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy, breaking her heart, and I'm free.
Yeah.
Free falling.
All right. There you go. That's Great Moments in Vinyl, everybody. I've got Phil Angotti, who is your vocals there, playing guitar as well, and Lindsey Cochran is playing bass, and Richard Pettengill is playing guitar. They are playing tonight, Tuesday night, at Martyrs.
The way he sings.
It's beautiful.
Hitting those high notes.
Yeah, he can sing, man. I've seen this guy 8 million times sing.
And I'm thrilled to be working.
No, I was so happy to have him on the show. I can't believe you've never been on my show before.
About time.
Yeah, and you've jammed with one of my best friends on the planet, Scott Oaken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of my best.
Scott, yeah, he's awesome.
I've known him for like 35 years or something like that. He's a great guitarist and currently the artistic director at the Factory Theater. And they're still
I've been to some of the shows.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of work over there. I've worked with them for a long time.
Awesome.
So now, as Tom Petty, I'd like to hear from each of you how you got turned on to Tom Petty or how you started listening to Tom Petty. Lindsey, did you?
I'm kind of drawing a blank. I mean, I like the guy. You know, my background is just I like music. I don't mean that as a cop out, but I just like music. And
Petty is one of those guys that's ever present too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, one of the things I enjoy about being in this band and this project is I get to play all this kind of music. You know, if I were in a Talking Heads cover band, I'd be playing nothing but Talking Heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this way I get to play all this different stuff.
That's right.
I mean, like my background, I'm a radio guy. And I got to play all sorts of songs on the radio, not just one type, not just one artist. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the fun of putting it together, as Phil knows, you know, putting together a set.
Yeah.
How you balance these different songs and different artists and different genres and styles.
Yeah.
And Petty just fits in that parade of artists.
Okay.
I like.
Phil, Wendy, do you remember the first time you...
I do. I was in high school. I remember seeing Tom Petty on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, you mentioned that, yeah.
And he had, you know, he had the cool blonde do, and he had a little Rickenbacker, and he was an odd-looking guy, and skinny, and he was singing Refugee, and I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
It just blew me away. And then, of course, I went out and found his records and found out he had done, you know, American Girl and Breakdown earlier.
Yeah.
But Refugee was kind of like my introduction.
That was the one.
See him on TV, yeah.
That wasn't like the Beatles and the Ed Sullivan Show moment.
It was really that and him and Elvis Costello were two artists that I saw for the first time on television where I just really bloomed.
Was it Elvis Costello on SNL?
Yeah.
That's a major SNL. That's one of the best.
I saw that show.
Music. Yep, me too.
I watched it with a friend. And, yeah. And I'm still a huge Elvis fan today.
Yeah, and they never allowed him back on the show again after that.
Right.
How we get ideas for Great Moments in Vinyl. This is how we do. So he's a big Elvis Costello fan. I'm thinking to myself, talk to Phil about doing Elvis Costello.
Yeah. There's a lot to choose from there. Album-wise?
We were thinking great albums.
We have not talked. Yeah. But off the top of my head, I'm thinking, let's just do the first three albums. They're each like 33 minutes long.
I've already done the second, so
I'm in. See, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. You know what?
We'll be back in 9 months.
There's so much to choose from with Costello, though.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because, I mean, he released two astonishing albums in the same year with Blood and Chocolate and... why am I blanking on the
second
solo album? 1986. Sorry?
King of America.
Yeah. They were the same year.
Yep. The T-Bone Burnett.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
King of America was more of an acoustic kind of solo record.
Yeah.
T-Bone, yeah.
That's it.
And
what
and then one with the Attractions.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
That same year.
That wasn't Elvis Costello. That was Declan McManus, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
It was not an Elvis album.
Ah. No, Declan McManus.
No, didn't it?
No. That King of America's Elvis.
It was Elvis.
It was Elvis.
There was one where he didn't use that name.
Might have been, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
But it's not. It wasn't one of those two.
I'm up late, man.
That
I'm
was a good. No, it's all right. Did you ever seen Elvis live?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see him when he does the wheel? When he brings
the
people?
The great spinning songbook. It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I saw it at the Riv, one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life.
I saw him at the Aragon in like 70, right after My Aim is True.
Good
came
Lord.
Out.
Of course you did. I'm surprised you didn't play with him that night. So, Richard, what about you and Tom Petty? How did that partnership begin?
Yeah, I think the first song of Petty that really hit me was The Waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And I distinctly remember the radio ads on XRT for that album coming out, and it just had that refrain over and over. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That riff, that harmony, I've got to get that. I ran out and bought the record.
Yeah. Have you seen Petty?
You know, I never have seen him live.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Now, have any of you guys?
A bunch of times.
Yeah, a bunch of times.
This band's amazing.
Yeah.
Great.
They're an incredible band. And Lindsay, you ever see him live?
Just the YouTube video.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're going to be breaking it here in a couple of minutes. But do you have a story that you can share with us before we take a break? We'll come back afterwards.
Yeah. You know,
because you tell stories. Again, I want to remind people that you do tell stories in between songs here and there. Great stories to so people can not only listen to the music, appreciate the albums like you guys do, and appreciate the musicians playing them, but learn something about the artist.
Well, I'll try to summarize this real quickly. I mean, Tom Petty, obviously from Florida, a small town in Florida, you know, rednecks might be the word that gets used describing his family. I mean, consider this, his father, Tom Petty's father. I mean, he used to beat his son mercilessly, and Tom wanted to have his hair long and wanted to play rock and roll, wanted to play guitar. So you imagine how well that went over in that household. But in 1990, Tom Petty's father says, "I didn't ever think he'd make anything in music, but I admired him for doing it. Made me feel good having somebody in the family that could play a tune, because none of the rest of us could." Is that not a head-slapping comment?
Yeah.
Not like, oh, I'm so proud of how well he did and what he made of his life. Tom went on to say, he told Warren Zanes in this biography, "Very early on, I realized I had to teach myself everything just to exist at the level I wanted to live my life. I felt there was more to be known, more to be understood than I was going to get from the household I was in." Tom educated himself well. When Damn the Torpedoes came out, it shot up the charts and sold in the millions. And as the website consequenceofsound.com put it, this 1979 album was the one that brought Tom Petty commercial and critical appeal, taking him outside of the nation's peninsula and into everyone's Trans Ams.
Ah, yes. It was 1979, Trans Ams, man. Oh, yeah. That's the way to go. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll hear more and talk more. Great Moments in Vinyl, performing two classic records by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers tonight at Martyrs. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN.
Well, she was an American girl, raised on premises. She couldn't help thinking that there was a little more life somewhere else. After all, it was a great big world with lots of places to run to. Yeah, and if she had to die, try, she had one little promise she was gonna keep. Oh yeah, alright, take it easy, baby.
Make it last all night. Okay. All right, guys. Very, very cool. That's Phil Angotti singing, playing bass is Lindsay Cochran, guitarist is Richard Pettengill. It's Nick DiGilio. Welcome back to the show here on 720 WGN. It's going to be a great gig tonight. Always great. Great Moments in Vinyl. And they're going to be, they perform classic albums and they share stories behind the music as well. And, you know, Lindsay Cochran has put this together and put together some of the best musicians that I've ever had in this studio. And I've got three amazing ones in here right now. So tonight at Martyrs, Tuesday, February 23rd, cover is $10. It's only, it's $8. It starts at 8 o'clock. And we have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. And you mentioned earlier that you do have a Tom Petty biography to give away.
Yes, we do.
At the gig.
His biographer, a guy, you might remember from the band the Del Fuegos many years
sure,
ago.
Sure, yeah.
But apparently he got out of music, got himself a doctorate or two, and started doing writing.
Wow.
I think he works with, I can't remember, with the Little Steven organization, but some foundation that he's involved with. But anyway, he toured with Tom Petty at one point, been the opening act, and got to know the guy.
Yeah.
And so he got this access mm-hmm. to write a bio that hasn't been, censored, edited.
You know? Yeah.
Tom's only stipulation was, if there's something I want to respond to, you have to let me respond. I won't tell you to take anything out, but you'll let me make a comment.
Yeah.
And
that's great. That's really great. And you do a lot of research for these shows.
You know, one of the fascinating things, I'll try to tell this story really shortly, but Bill Flanagan of Musician Magazine and MTV fame talked about how there's this trend in rock music. The really great musicians are ones that have lost their mothers when they were young. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Bono. And it also, they might have fathers that were very difficult, very hard on them. Mm-hmm. Bono said, if you were lucky enough, you had both. You know, a father who hated you and a mother who died. And Tom Petty was in that same category. His mother died right after Damn the Torpedoes hit. And how did Bill Flanagan put it? It's like rocket fuel for these people, driving them, trying to make themselves heard by people who aren't listening.
Mm.
Your mother's not there. The father's never going to be convinced.
That's interesting.
You saw Tom Petty's father. I'm glad he learned to play. None of us could sing.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, you know, I've talked to you guys about this. This is the first time I've had Phil in here. And I always ask certain questions of musicians, and I've already asked. I'll repeat the questions to you guys. You've already answered them.
I'm trying to make up new answers.
But, yeah. No, yours are good, man. I remember your first album is Mungo Jerry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm always ashamed of that.
No,
yeah,
you shouldn't be ashamed. Mungo Jerry is a great record, man.
Well, it had a great song on it.
A great song, yeah.
A lot of films.
Yeah, exactly. What was your
skiffle band?
And your first concert?
Chicago.
Chicago, that's right. Okay, so Mungo Jerry in Chicago. So it's first album, first concert, Phil. So Richard, let's go back to you.
First album?
Yeah.
Meet the Beatles.
Okay.
First concert, Nina Simone, Isaac Hayes, and Richie Havens at the Fillmore East.
See, I mean, jeez.
I'm still wanting to find out the Meet the Beatles. Is that the one with the Butcher cover? I mean,
no. Oh, okay. It's the first one with the four heads.
Oh, okay.
It's a Butcher cover.
You know, the baby.
No, I know exactly what you're... That was yesterday.
So Richard, wasn't
yesterday
it?
And today.
Yesterday and today.
Extremely rare album. That's the one he would have.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Okay, now, Phil, first album. Well, and this is like, right. You know, like allowance. You know, you go out.
I went out and bought it myself.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, it would be Get Your Ya-Ya's Out by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, good one. Wow. Now, what was the...
Mom was not happy with the cover.
Not happy with the cover? No. Didn't like donkeys?
My mom bought me... Remember Charlie Watts had the T-shirt on?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, my mom bought me records when I was little, so I had all the Beatle records. She was great about that. But going out with my own money, I remember going to Pat's Records on the east side. It was a head shop.
Yeah.
And I bought Get Your Ya-Ya's Out.
Okay. First concert.
You know, actually, I went in high school to see Rush with some friends.
Yeah.
I'm not even a big Rush fan.
Yeah.
But I just went. And I saw The Who right after Keith Moon died.
Oh, yeah.
Right after the Cincinnati tragedy.
Oh, so in the early 80s then, yeah.
Another thing my mom wasn't happy
was
about
that
me 79?
Doing.
Yeah.
80. It happened in 80. Moon, yeah. I think he died.
Moon died in 1978?
78, I think. Late 78.
So the concert I went to was like 79 or 80.
Yeah. The first Kenny Jones tour?
Yep.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was there. First tour. Amphitheater. Roger had to cut his hair short.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's
right. That's pretty good.
They made
concert.
A big deal out of that. Yeah. I can tell you real quick, my first album was Paranoid by Black Sabbath. And my first concert was Black Oak, Arkansas. But the opening band was Bad Company before the first album came out.
Wow.
So nobody knew who they were. But when they walked out on stage, my dad's with me. My dad starts going nuts because he recognizes Paul Rodgers because he's a Free. My dad's a huge fan of Free. He comes out. My dad's like, oh, my God, that's the guy from Free.
All right now.
Yeah. Playing with Black Oak.
Yeah, but they didn't play any.
Oh, they didn't?
No, they just played the entire first. Well, I'm not complaining. They played the entire first Bad Company album, which is a legendary record. So unbelievable. Now, Phil, the stuff that you like to play, you like the British Invasion stuff. How did you get into that stuff?
Like I said, when I was a little boy, my mom was really good about keeping music in the house. And my dad was kind of a Buck Owens, a Buckaroo, Johnny Cash. He liked WJJD and country. And so I had that on my dad's side. And my mom was a pop fan. And she liked everybody from Gene Pitney to the Hollies. And she bought me, Herman Hermit's records. And, of course, the Beatles. I was a Beatle fan since I was a little baby.
Yeah.
So it's just a lifelong. And then when I discovered the Stones, that's when, my older cousins were Stones freaks. They still are.
Mm-hmm.
And they started passing on Stones albums to me, and I was hooked on the Stones.
Now, is it, the eternal question, Stones or Beatles? I know that, and that's like, I mean, I'm sure you've been asked that question
a
million times, and I know that I have been asked that question. Who do you
with? It's Beatles for me.
So. Okay. And what about you,
Richard?
I got
a question for him.
Yeah?
Lennon or McCartney?
Lennon.
Okay.
I'm a Paul guy. I'm a Paul guy, and I know that's an unpopular thing, but I would take Beatles. I would take the Beatles over the Stones. I would take the Beatles over the Stones.
But you had so much melodic music in your upbringing. Yeah. I would have figured McCartney would have
been. I know, and I like Paul. Solo career, there's no comparison. Paul's way better. But
I totally agree with you.
Right, way better.
But I get so much crap for saying that.
No, it's true. No, I mean, when I've performed Paul McCartney's Ram before with some friends, and it's very complicated. Great harmonies, beautiful music, and Band on a Run. John was lazy. Let's just be honest. I loved him. But during the Beatle era, I prefer John.
Yeah, and favorite. I think part of the reason why I always side with McCartney is because he gets, he gets crapped on a lot.
Right.
You know, like when and there's nothing like Wings. Those albums are great.
They're great.
They're great records. Yeah. And there is, I mean, he gets crapped on all the time because he wasn't making political statements or doing anything. He was just making great pop
but
music.
He can get so cute. The British have a great word for it. He was so twee.
Yeah, at times. I don't know. So Stones or Beatles?
Beatles.
Okay.
For sure.
Stones or Beatles?
Oh, Beatles.
Beatles. Yeah. Okay, we're unanimous. Beatles. Yeah.
Late Beatles.
All Beatles. All Beatles. I mean, they were only together for like 10 years. So, you know.
I like the psychedelic stuff.
No, it was much less than that.
7 years.
7 years. Yeah. Isn't that unbelievable?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
That what they accomplished in that short period of time. It's incredible. It's just absolutely insane. It's insane. Now Phil, you were telling me that some stuff that you've covered. What's some of your favorite things that you've covered? Now you mentioned Ram. That's got to be.
Paul McCartney and Ram was a real gas. Recently doing Elvis Costello's second album. This year's model.
This year's model. Great album.
A blast.
Yeah.
This is going to be a blast for me. I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, even though I'm known for Beatles and Stones and '60s, I like doing some new stuff too. I'm a big Dylan fan too.
Mm-hmm.
So Blonde on Blonde would be fun. Anyway,
that's a double album too. You get more Dylan for your money on that one.
Yeah. So
we were looking at Dylan. We were thinking about maybe doing Desire and getting a killer violinist to play the Scarlet.
Pistols Yachts right now in the ballroom night. So I just like these guys, like Lindsay was saying, and Richard. Yeah. I'm just a big music fan. I just absolutely love it.
Well, I can tell that every time I have you guys in, how much you love music. Let me ask you this: have you watched Vinyl? HBO yet?
No.
I haven't heard great things.
It's not getting great reviews. For some reason, I like it, but I can understand every criticism that I've heard and everything that I've read that's been negative about it. I can totally, but for some reason, I'm responding to it.
TV shows and movies about music just generally don't work.
Some of them are great. Almost Famous is a pretty great movie.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenal movie.
That was Cameron Crowe.
It was Cameron Crowe.
He understood.
No, he does. Yeah, I mean,
a lot
there's.
Of people don't.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was his story too. You know, but the thing about Vinyl for me is, it's got all the people are complaining about it because it's Scorsese's ripoff of Mad Men set in the 70s, and it's got lots of cocaine and Italian guys beating the crap out of each other, and that's what Scorsese does, and I can understand people saying, okay, look, enough. And a lot of people are bitching about the music being inconsistent, and Richard Hell wrote a piece about it. I don't know if you guys read it, but he wrote a relatively searing review of the pilot, and saying that one of the characters is based on him, and there are portrayals of, Otis Redding, there's Andy Warhol, and Lou Reed and Nico were in the last episode, so they do recreate the time period, and they go back and forth in time so that they can recreate the 60s and the early 70s and all that stuff. The dolls are portrayed in it and all that, and I can totally see why people would think it's inconsistent. If anybody has the right to bitch about it, it's Richard Hell. That's a guy who was there when all that stuff was going down. But for some reason, I'm responding to it. I don't know. I would just be curious to see what...
I do want to see it.
I want to see
it. Yeah, I'm curious to see what you guys would think of it, because it's a time period in American music that's pretty damn cool and important. Yeah. And there is a ton of music in it. A lot of it is not the original versions. A lot of it is covers. Like, for instance, they had an Amy Mann... They had Amy Mann cover the Carpenters in the last episode, and it was
like
beautiful.
She's great.
She's phenomenal. Yeah. So, but it was. I like it, so I'm just interested to see what you guys think.
Next time, please let me know.
Let me know.
We'll be back. I like
that. No, you guys are going to be. You guys can come back anytime you want. Absolutely. Damn the Torpedoes and Full Moon Fever tonight. If you're a fan of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, you're going to have an incredible collection of great musicians playing. And and again, next for Great Moments in Vinyl, Indigo Girls.
Indigo Girls.
It will be at Martyrs.
March 22nd.
Today's the 23rd.
So 22nd of March.
Oh, wow. Okay. It is less than a month. We get you back in here for that?
Yep.
And here's some Indigo Girls?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very, very cool. And anybody doing it? Phil, what do you got going? Anything else?
I have a show at Reggie's Thursday night where I'm going to be doing the Rolling Stones Out of Our Heads album.
Oh. Nice.
Some friends of mine, yeah.
That's cool. Do you just get people together to say, hey, let's do this album?
Yeah. And Reggie's has a thing called Classic Album Nights, and they do it at the end of the month on Thursdays. Yeah. So I got involved in it, and I'm actually doing some of the booking. I don't do it every month, but they've decided he's been here playing so much, might as well have him book it too.
Yeah.
and then Scott Legan, Casey McDonough, Tony Kaye, and myself have been doing as each Beatle album comes out for the 50th anniversary, we've been doing those shows.
Oh, that's
too.
Cool.
We recently just did Rubber Soul in December. So when
see,
Revolver
now,
comes
now
out.
Now you're in my wheelhouse. Those are my two favorite Beatle albums.
Rubber Soul and Revolver, obviously.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
They're
Rubber
best.
Soul was Supreme. Our favorite show so far. I mean, that was we had a blast doing it.
And Revolver's my favorite Beatle album.
Yeah.
Revolver, of all the Beatle albums, my favorite. And it's that, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
For me, it's like that is, those two albums are the bridge. Between the two Beatles, the two Beatles that we know, and that I don't know, it's just those records are unbelievable. That's very cool. Now, what about you, Richard? What are you working on? Anything? Or still at the Old Town School?
Yeah. Teaching a Woodstock ensemble class at the Old Town School right
and
now.
And you were there.
You're qualified,
so I get to get to tell the stories. You know.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Okay.
So this session we're doing just the music that happened Friday night, in the order that it was
that's
performed.
So cool.
And next session we're doing Saturday.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
and people
can Kool-Aid at all? Are
you going to have mud on the floor? And can people sign up for that? Or,
yeah, absolutely.
Is it just oldtownschoolofolk.org?
Yeah, you'll find it. Just type in my name or Woodstock Ensemble or whatever.
That's great, man. That is so cool. Well, listen, you guys, it's always a blast to have you down here. Phil, I'm so glad we got to have you on.
Thank you.
And
that's
come back
great.
Again anytime you want, man.
Absolutely.
You guys have a blast tonight, and thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
All right, very cool.
Thanks.
And that is Great Moments in Vinyl, Damn to Torpedoes, Full Moon Fever. Tonight, if you love Tom Petty, check it out. It's at Martyrs.